Brilliant. So, guys, let's get into what has been, as Jack keeps putting it, the fatal fortnight. Marco Silva, the latest to go. Jack, what are your thoughts on? I mean, it seems as if they've waited a little bit too long to get rid of him.
Yeah, he's a bit of a fraud, isn't he, according to you?
He is a fraud.
I saw a statistic which said that he's got the lowest points per game of any Everton manager since, can't remember his name, but I think the manager who was in charge before, David Moyes. So that's going, so pretty much since the turn of the century almost. It's like 1.2 points per game or something, which is
wow.
not great for a man once described as a mini Mourinho. So yeah, I think a big learning curve for Silva in the Premier League, and I'm not sure when he'll be coming back, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, only a matter of time. Quite surprised they have left it this late, but I think in terms of what happened with Ronald Koeman and they kind of what happened there, they kind of just pulled the plug instantly. I think maybe they have been a little bit more sensible, perhaps giving it a bit more time to try and work out who the right replacement is. But yeah, who that is remains to be seen. So
do you not think that it seems a little bit, I know obviously we've said that they probably wait too long to sack him, but then to sack him after losing to a very, very good Liverpool side. I know it's the Merseyside derby, but it's kind of like, well, Everton weren't going to win that game regardless of whether he was under pressure or not.
Yeah, I think he was basically gone after the Norwich game, but they thought, well, he's got Leicester away at the weekend, you know, maybe that could start, you know, a bit of a run. And then they were like, oh wait, well now it's too close to Merseyside derby, so we'll probably have to wait till after that when we inevitably lose.
Yeah,
I think they just set him up, to be honest, and just thought we might as well let him take the flak for losing the Merseyside derby rather than bring someone in new who loses their first game. So yeah, I think they were always going to sack him after it, no matter what happened, really.
So Jack, you said that you don't think we'll see him in the Premier League for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
It would surprise me if a club like West Ham aren't keeping an eye on him. I hope they're not. But surely now he's a cheap option.
But what's he achieved?
Well, this is the thing, but I mean, this is, you know, there will be clubs surely looking at him.
I don't know. I'm not too sure. I don't know if he really suits the Premier League at the moment. And there's something about him as a person, or his sort of lack of charisma, so to speak, in the media or whatever thing, which might put people off.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why it is. It was kind of the same when Sven was manager of England and he wasn't getting up off the bench and shouting at players. People were like, what's he there for? Similar thing with Pellegrini at West Ham.
Yeah.
From what I gather. So I think, yeah, the fact that he's supposed to be some sort of tactical genius isn't offering much in terms of, yeah, his face in the press. I can't see any reason why someone would want to give him a chance at this moment until he proves it somewhere else.
That's fair enough. I mean, what next for Everton, though? I mean, they've got a bit of a mountain to climb to get out of that bottom three and turn their season around.
Getting the band back together, aren't they?
I mean, there is that talk that Morris is going to come back and bring everyone. Is it Tim Cahill as well is coming back?
Wow.
Is
that Francis Jeffers, I'm hearing.
Franny J.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, Duncan Ferguson's obviously got it interim, so yeah.
It's a very West Ham thing to do. Coming from, obviously, expecting West Ham to do something similar. Can the band save Everton?
I mean, I'd be very surprised if Everton did end up going down. But I mean, David Moyes would be a very uninspiring decision. But I think at the same time, it might be a safe one. Kind of what they did with Allardyce. So I know Everton fans are wanting the club to be ambitious, but I think they need to kind of take a backward step for now and sort of secure their place in the Premier League before they go sort of hunting for bigger fish, so to speak.
I think the danger is that, I mean, I read some reports maybe a couple of weeks ago before all this happened that David Moyes was keeping an eye on the Everton and the West Ham jobs, but wouldn't want to take a short-term deal. He'd want, you know, a long contract, which I'm sure would have put off a couple of clubs. If Everton do give him a long contract, then they're kind of, that's even more uninspiring, is it? Given that they've gone, well, you know, getting him in on a 3-year contract. I'm not sure the fans would be too pleased with that.
Well, I read about half an hour ago that Everton have reportedly made an approach for Pochettino, according to the Times.
Love that.
So, you know, that is the sort of calibre they should be going for. So if they end up with David Moyes, then yeah, you can see why they'd be very disappointed, even though he does clearly have some decent credentials, despite the way his reputation has tumbled since leaving Everton.
Absolutely. Let's go to Arsenal, Matt. Freddie's at the wheel, and it's not going very well, is it?
Yeah,
the ship is sinking.
The wheel is already broken.
Yeah.
I mean, Arsenal are on their worst streak since 1977. I think Madness. It is. Haven't won in 9 games in all competitions. And Lumbo's come in and the tactics are kind of the same, and it just seems to be a bunch of players picked rather than picking them to suit a system. So, I mean,
do you feel like the players are just waiting for the next manager to come in rather than really giving everything they're all for Lundberg?
I think so, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not too sure who the next manager is going to be, but there's clearly quite a big process that needs to happen before they bring in that new manager. But yeah, Lundberg to me doesn't strike me as somebody that is going to be able to turn around the fortunes. And yeah, the fact that there hasn't sort of really been an instant reaction probably says a lot. Mm. Arsenal need an experienced manager, a manager that knows how to get his hands dirty and can actually shake these players up, I think.
Who is that manager going to be in terms of experience? I mean, surely Arsenal should be knocking on Pochettino's door.
Yeah, Pochettino is probably my number one pick. I quite like Nagelsmann as well, but I haven't really heard too many rumours suggest that he's someone Arsenal are looking at. I mean, Allegri's been thrown around, but from what stuff that I've read, that it doesn't seem as though the hierarchy were too impressed when they interviewed him. It was almost as though Allegri was actually interviewing the Arsenal board.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. I think he said to the board, why should you hire me? Rather than... his English wasn't too great either, so it would be surprising if they went back for him. But yeah, he's the type of mould that Arsenal should be looking at.
Okay, and I mean, how long do Arsenal wait until they change or until they sack the interim manager? Because they're going to lose to West Ham on Monday night.
Probably, yeah.
It's a given. Because West Ham only turn up when they're playing a top six side. I mean, he hasn't got many games left already, has he?
No. Well, I think we need somebody before January comes around as well.
Yeah.
You can't really give a January transfer window to an interim manager. So I'd like to think that maybe by the start of January, someone is there. But then at the same time, the Christmas schedule is absolutely hectic. So you've then got to find someone that's got time to actually sort of change the tactics as well to make it work.
It's so important that they make an appointment which is positive amongst the fan base though now, because I feel like how toxic the fan base has become is really, really damaging the players. So they need to make sure that not an appointment that appeases the fans, but one that's going to be popular in some sort of capacity. Because if they get someone in, you know, kind of like when Newcastle got in Steve Bruce, I know that's kind of going pretty well for them. When straight away the fans are like, well, we hate that decision. If you add that onto the fact they're already in a huge mess, I think it could turn into a really horrible season for them.
Yeah. It's got to the point where Arsenal fans at the moment, I saw on Twitter yesterday, there was a little clip of Arsenal in training, you know, the little mini goals you have in the passing exercise. And fans are having a go at the players for not scoring goals in that training exercise.
What has the club come to?
Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. So, yeah, what Jack said makes complete sense. It does need to be someone that's actually going to have a positive impact on the fans, first and foremost.
Fair enough. And we'll just touch on Watford. Hayden Mullins has made he's come out of the woodwork. I didn't even realise he was still in football.
Neither did I.
And he's popped up as, is it interim coach at Watford, or has he got the job full time? I think it's an interim deal.
Because
he's a youth coach there. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Well, when Christie said, oh yeah, Hayden Mullins has taken the Watford job, I was just like, oh yeah, that's funny. And then later in the day, looked at Sky Sports and there's the banner at the bottom, be like, Hayden Mullins appointed. What? I was like, hang on a minute, wait, he's actually been appointed. I just thought you were joking, Christine. He's like, oh no, that was fact.
Maybe
it's the news.
I'm a very funny bloke, but I was being deadly serious in that.
Christy, what are your thoughts on Watford and their just ridiculous attitude towards managers?
Well, I think, to be honest, they actually have quite a good team. Like, in terms of individual talent, there is some there. So it's a bit strange that they're having this bad a season. I think, to be honest, they're probably suffering from the fact that Aston Villa are quite a good team. You know, Brighton have improved. A lot of teams have got better from last season. In terms of the management situation, I mean, it's worked for them for quite a long time, this sort of weird way of having managers in for only a season at a time or whatever it is. So, you know, if it works for them, it works for them. But when you're doing that, you're always going to run the risk of having a season like this one and everything goes wrong. I don't really know. If I were them, I'd probably try and bring in Sam Allardyce, because I think with players like Troy Deeney especially, he could still get them out of the relegation zone, even though they've got to win 7 points just to get out of the relegation zone. But yeah, I'd be looking at either him or probably Tony Pulis as well.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. Back in the Premier League.
Tony Pulis. Yeah. Matt, what are your thoughts on Watford?
Yeah, I mean, I quite like the Allardyce shout, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just would seem to suit Troy Deeney quite nicely, I reckon.
Yeah.
A little combination of Deeney and Allardyce would be a dream, I think, for Watford.
Those are two blokes you want to bump into in the pub together.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
No, I think at the moment, I think they're just destined to go down. I think whoever comes in, I don't really think they're particularly savable. I know they've got some good players, but yeah, the state they're in at the moment, I just can't see them staying up, to be honest.
Mm. Fair enough. Okay, let's move on to Amazon Prime.
Mm.
I didn't get the chance to watch anything on Amazon Prime over the last few days. I've been pretty busy, but I'm assuming you guys paid for it or got your free trial and took advantage of that.
Already had Prime, mate.
Already had Prime. All right.
Same there.
Well, it was not my account, but yeah, had access to one.
Fair enough. So what do you think, it works? I mean, there's been a lot of debate as to whether this is the future of sort of broadcasting football, and particularly in the Premier League, the duopoly of BT Sport and Sky Sports proving to be quite expensive, particularly over the last couple of years. Do you think this has been a good trial with Amazon?
Definitely.
I think the coverage has been, you know, pretty good. The way they've, you know, considering it's their first attempt, there weren't too many issues with it. I think there's things that could be improved. And I know a couple of people had technical issues. I think one thing that stood out is, depending on what device you're on, people seem to have a slightly different experience. I thought it was a very good first attempt. And I think when they get around to Boxing Day, I think it will come into its own and be even better than it was this time. So I really liked it. And it's an interesting way of watching football. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was very interesting, because I was in the pub when the Liverpool-Everton game was on, and they didn't have it on the screen there. So I don't know exactly what the rules are going to be in terms of pubs and how they access it. But there was like three different phones with the same game on, all streaming at different times. So when I think we were watching the game further ahead than the other two people. So my mates, Liverpool fan, would celebrate, and then the other guys would be like 10 seconds later, then they'd be like, oh, as if, you know,
wow,
as if they hadn't even realised. But yeah, so it just kind of made me think at the time, is this the future? People's going to be sat around phones or watching the same game at different speeds at different times. it was just a bit strange how it works out, because people don't generally watch the game on their phone in a pub.
But yeah.
Because obviously it normally has it on the screen, but because it was Amazon. So I don't know if that'll change over time.
I suppose
it's
a very difficult obstacle to get over, given that, you know, the quality of your stream and, you know, your connection with your phone is going to go down to your internet speed, isn't it?
Exactly.
And your connection. So it's going to be quite difficult for any kind of broadcaster to get over that. But Matt, what are your thoughts on it?
I mean, the simple fact that you could watch every single Premier League game.
Game-changing,
is
isn't it?
Absolutely game-changing.
Mm. Yeah.
I know we have this 3 p.m. blackout on a Saturday. But yeah, I mean, if this is something that is going to happen in the future, Amazon showing every single game over a couple of game weeks, and yeah, game changing. And I think especially at the price as well, you can't really go too wrong. So yeah, I was pretty impressed with the coverage as well.
But if they go down that route, does this affect attendances in stadiums?
I think so. I think the top clubs, it's not going to be that much of an issue. But when you're getting down to teams like Southampton, maybe Wolves, Palace, teams like that, Burnley maybe, yeah, it is going to affect attendances if you can stream every single game. So it's something they have to find a good balance to. I don't think we should get rid of the 3 p.m. blackout. I think it does make sense.
Maybe just limit the showing every game to like midweek fixtures and the boxing days, and
yeah,
and maybe sense. The final day of the season where, you know, all the games are being played at the same time and there's a bit of excitement going on.
Is that what happens in the Championship midweek games, that they have every single one available on the red button?
On Sky Sports, yeah.
Yeah, so typically. I think that might be a decent idea.
Yeah. And just the last one on this one, I mean, it's $7.99. Is it $7.99 for Prime?
I think a month? So, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
You might have to pay a flat-out fee. I'm not sure though, like £70 for the year, but it works out about that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's still very, very cheap, isn't it? Yeah. In comparison to Sky and BT. Yeah. But if this takes off, then does that go up?
Yeah, it's
probably. Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I think probably what they'll do is introduce a package just for football and then a package for all Prime, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And maybe that one just for football will be quite cheap, but then overall Prime will probably go up quite a bit.
That makes sense. Makes sense. Okay, lastly on this week's show, we can't ignore the Manchester Derby coming up. City falling well behind in the title race. And United surprising everyone by winning a football match against Tottenham.
And winning convincingly.
Winning convincingly, although the scoreline doesn't suggest it was convincingly, but it was. I mean, how do we see this one going? I mean, both sides sort of have had very different journeys over the last few years, but you know, this one could go either way. I know it's a cliche, but you can't really call this one this year.
Can you not?
I don't think so.
I mean, United do have a tendency to, well, I say a tendency, actually, that's probably not the right word, but they did turn up and turn it around from 2-0 down to win 3-2 when they weren't playing particularly well a couple of years ago, if you remember that, when Pogba, I think, scored a couple as well. So, yeah, I think they've got the mentality to win at City. But I feel like the way City have been playing recently, they're overdue a big performance. And I think they'll get it tomorrow, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
Matt?
Yeah, I mean, to quote some punditry from Jermaine Genius this week, it's a game that both teams will want to win.
Fair play, Jermaine.
Yeah,
can't argue.
It's cutting-edge analysis.
Yeah, outstanding analysis. But no, I think it will be quite an interesting game. I think City will probably edge it. But if you look at United's attack recently, I was pretty impressed with them against Spurs. The form Rashford's in, I'd probably be a little bit concerned as a City fan with your defence. But yeah, I think City will probably just about have enough on the day.
Christy?
Yeah, Man City win for me, I think. I know Man United played well in the week on Wednesday night, but for me it's just a pretty poor Man United team. And the fact, you know, players like Mason Greenwood were the ones making the difference on Wednesday night. I don't think they're going to be able to do that against City. Clearly City defensively have a few flaws. I wouldn't be surprised if Man United scored, especially with Rashford in really good form. But yeah, I just think Man City are quite a few levels above Man United at the moment, so I'm going for a City win.
This Manchester derby seems to have creeped up kind of out of nowhere, doesn't it? I don't know if it's because of the Amazon stuff in midweek, but I almost forgot, and then this morning was like, hang on a minute, it's the Manchester derby tomorrow. Probably the least excited I've ever been for one in terms of the anticipation. Normally it's like a whole week in advance, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
Now I'm excited, now I've noticed it's like, oh wait, I almost forgot that was a Manchester derby. It's quite strange.
Yeah,
it's gone under the radar.
I think that says how insignificant United kind of are at the moment as well, to be fair.
Yeah,
it just
definitely
doesn't have the feel of a big game, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, just lastly on that, I mean, with Liverpool, it was 8 points clear of second place Leicester, 11 points clear of City. This, I mean, we'll probably talk about Liverpool's title challenge in the coming weeks, but I mean, this is getting a little bit precarious for City's defence, isn't it?
Yeah, well, when you have to win every single game for the rest of the season, it's not a good situation, is it?
And so, you think, though, I mean, previously, that didn't seem like a problem for Pep Guardiola's Man City, but at the moment, it's not great.
No, when you've got, playing players like Otamendi at centre-back without someone reliable beside him, it's a shaky time. But I mean, if Laporte could come back tomorrow, I think everyone would be feeling a lot more confident. So I think when Laporte comes back, the gap then will be kind of what we determine. Is it going to be achievable to bring that back or not?
Fair enough.
Do you think you can win it?
I think it's going to, there's a lot of factors that need to be considered. And I think the main one is that Liverpool do need to get injuries, which sounds quite a sadistic way of saying, this is how a team can win the title, but it's kind of true. I just think in that if they keep their best players fit, I don't think there's any way they're going to throw it away, to be honest. If they get, a bad injury to Van Dijk or Salah, but even then, they played Shaqiri and Origi against Everton and ran away with it. So there's it's one of those. It's hard to see them slipping up at any point too majorly, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Brilliant. So that is us for what has been a bite-sized episode of the FC 90 podcast. between two game weeks very, very close together. Back next week for a full-on episode. I won't be. I'm having 3 weeks off for paternity leave. So I'll be back in the new year. So Christy will be taking the reins from me, as always, when I'm off. I've been away for so... I'll be away for so long, I might have to take my face off the logo and replace it with Matt Dawson's.
Wow. Do a half and half with me and Matt.
Yeah.
That would be a bit haunting, I think.
We could do that. And next week as well, moving forward, we'll have the return of Christie's Corner. Apologies to everyone that was looking forward to that this week.
I hear everyone's gutted about that, so...
Yeah, I mean, I'm gutted. We just didn't get time to fill it in, mate, but...
Yeah.
Make sure you clean up ahead of next week. Okay, so that's it for this week. Enjoy the Manchester Derby. As always, if you enjoy what we do, then make sure you hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and follow us on Twitter @FC90Pod. Boom.